Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf is Ksubas Ayin. We are holding on the seventh line from the top of the Amud. Tanan Hasam, we have learned in a Mishnah over there in Maseches Gittin. Hapu'utais, we have these youngsters. Rashi says perhaps 8 or 9 year olds, well, all depending on their sharpness of mind. So we have youngsters pre-bar mitzvah. Can they buy and sell? Let's say, you know, he's a yasim, no father. He needs to look after himself. Can they get involved in transactions? Answer is yes. Mekhan, mekach, umemkar, mekar, mechar. If they buy, it's a purchase. If they sell, it is considered a legally binding sale, provided bimetatalin, we're speaking about movable objects as opposed to karka. And the reason for this is because otherwise nobody would trust them. Nobody would get involved in selling or buying from them. And how are they going to look after themselves and tend to their needs? So the Chachamim said, you know, if they buy and sell metatalim, it's a legal transaction. But when it comes to karka, Rashi points this out, by karka, it doesn't work until either he becomes an adult or 20 years old. Amar Rafram, loishanu. This ability to sell metatalim is only elashay nisham apotropos. If there is no apotropos, there was no caretaker appointed by the departed father or bezdin. So then they have to fend for themselves. They can buy and sell. Aval yesh sham apotropos. Suppose there is an apotropos on the scene. It's his business. Ein mekchan mekach ve'ein memkaran merka. Then they have no power to buy and sell, because he is going to look after them. Mimai, how do you know this is true? Midatani, take a look at our Mishnah. There's a story of a father who allocated some funds for his daughter upon her marriage. He gave it to a shlish. In the meantime, he gave it to a third party, a shlish. It's called a shlish because of a lashon shalish. He's the third party, right? There's the giver, the receiver, and the third party was like the bank. He's holding on to the money in the meantime. Mishnah says, well, if she wants to take the money from him to do what, you know, whatever she chooses, he can't give it to her. Right? If she's a ktana, ein mas a ktana klum, the shlish must hold on to those funds and follow instructions. So there you go. When there is a caretaker on the scene, we don't allow the minor, the child, to get involved. Asks the Gemara, well, maybe there's a difference between the case in the Mishnah where it's a shlish who was actually appointed and instructed with very specific instructions, as opposed to a general apotropos who's just a general caretaker. V'dilma, perhaps, hey, chadigah shlish, when there's a shlish, shani, it's totally different. But here we're speaking about apotropos, and Rashi points out an apotropos is meant to look after them and provide for their needs. And after all, that's all the kid is trying to do. He's just trying to sell things to provide for himself. So perhaps that is compatible with the apotropos's charter, so to speak. Responds the Gemara, if that were so, if your distinction was indeed true, im kein listening, then the Mishnah should just say, aval bektana, yase shalish mashu shlash biyadai. Mishnah should say, well, if she's just a ktana, then the fellow who's holding on to the money, the shlish, he has to follow instruction. He has to wait until, you know, she's up to it, until she marries, and buy the karka for her sake. But instead of using that type of lashon, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah states it unequivocally. Mai, ein masek tana klum. Why does the Mishnah state it in such absolute terms? You should know if she's a ktana, she has no say in the matter. Shema mina afilu ba'am. The Mishnah, by using this stern language, is indicating to us that under all circumstances, whether the fellow is a shalish or even just a general caretaker, apotropos, the ktana doesn't get involved. Rather, he relies on the apotropos and his good services. Hadron Allah Mitzias Isha. Continues the Mishnah, Hamader is ishtoi milahana isloi. This fellow made a nether. Dear wife, you can't have any anoa from me. Nothing. Now, the Mishnah and the Gemara will focus on provisions, mezoines, parnasa. We're not speaking about physical interaction at this point, which is a different sugya, which we discussed in the previous perek. But he was speaking about whether or not she can get mezainis from him. After all, he made a neder, you can't have anything from me. So what's the halacha? Ad lamed yom yamed parnas. Up until 30 days, we allow for some, you know, temporary leeway. You can have a parnas, you can appoint a middleman, so to speak, to provide for her. Yosir mikan, past 30 days, it's not going to be a good arrangement. And therefore, yoytziv yitin ksuba, he must divorce and pay the ksuba. Rabbi Da'imer, what depends? Be Yisrael. If he's a Yisrael who can technically remarry his divorcee, then we give them less leeway, chodesh echad yekayim, if it's within a month. Okay, hold on to her. Ushnayim, but if it's within the second month, it's past a month. You've overdone it. You've overstepped your boundaries. Yoytziv yitin ksuba, divorce and give the ksuba. That's because it's a Yisrael, but by a kohen, where we want to give him one last chance, we want to give him some more time to reconsider, because once it's done, it's over with, right? So we stretch it for another month. The kohen shnayim mikayim, if it's merely 2 months, okay, we allow him to maintain this arrangement. But ushloisha, but if it's past 2 months into the third, yoytiv yitin ksuba, you must divorce and give the ksuba. Here's another example, but in this case, she was the one who made the neder. So explains the Gemara, she made the nether and he was mekayim the nether. He refused to interfere and to annul the nether. So he sort of confirmed the nether. Hamader is ishtay shloi titoim echad mikol apiris. So she has a nether to refrain from a certain type of fruit, which makes her life difficult and restrictive. So in this case, yoytiv yitin ksuba, immediately he has to divorce and give the ksuba. Why over here do we not give him a 30-day grace period? So the Rishonim say, because, you know, in the first case, he made a nether against her. So he was mad at her and he made a nether. So she understands where he's coming from. She gives him a 30-day grace period until he can reconsider. But here, she was the one who made the nether and he confirmed it. So there's no anger, there's no animosity, there's no situation which triggered it on his part. Why did he allow it? Why did he confirm it? Oh, apparently he dislikes me. And he doesn't mind that I live with these restrictions. So now in this case, if he doesn't take care of it right away, it creates animosity, it's unfair to her, and he has to divorce her. Yoytiv yitin ksuba. Again, Rabbi Yehuda comes and makes that distinction between a kohen and a Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda would be Yisrael if it's just the Eishes Yisrael. We give it a very short grace period. Yom Echad Yekayim. For one day, they're still okay, but Shnayim, it's past the day. Yoytiv yitin ksuba. Ubekayim, we give it an extra day. But just 2 days, shnayim yikayim, we can hold on to her. But shloisha, if it's already into the third day, yoytiv yitin ksuba. Here's another example. Amadeus ishtoi, shletis kashit, be'echad mikol aminin. So again, she made the neder, he confirmed. I will not adorn myself, I will not use a specific type of cosmetic. Yoytiv yitin ksuba, divorce and give the ksuba. He makes that distinction between a poor person and a wealthy person. Ba'aniyos, if she's poor, so in any case, she's not really accustomed to using these items. Shilanos on kitzpah, over there, it's only an issue if he left it open-ended. He did not give it a time frame. That makes it just unreasonable and difficult to bear. Uba shirois, shloshim yom, if she's wealthy and accustomed to this type of lifestyle, in this case, up to 30 days. Asks the Gemara, back to the first halacha, he made a nether, you can't receive any support from me, any mezonis. A husband cannot do that. He's already meshubat. He's already committed to it. And that precedes his nether. V'chivat meshubat lo, since he's committed to providing for her needs. Heichi matzi madilo. What business does he have making a nether? It doesn't catch. Kol kemine demafka lo l'shibudit. Does he have the ability to override his pre-existing commitment to look after her needs? But it's not. We have a Mishnah which indicates otherwise. She's the one making the nether. And what I produce, all my income, you can't have. Don't worry about it. He doesn't have to interfere because Alma, apparently, since she's committed, she's meshubah to provide, to bring income, Lav kol kemino de mafkalei l'shibudei. She has no kayach to undo that shibud. So the nether is not chal, it doesn't catch at all. Hachanami, as well, in the husband's case, kiva de meshubado, since he is committed to provide her needs, lav kol kemino de mafkalei l'shibudei, he has no ability to override that commitment. Second, the nether be activated at all in this case. Ella says, the Gemara, I'll give you the teretz. Zakir says, Amri. In any case, the answer is like this. Since a husband has the, theoretically, has the koyach, he has the ability to tell her like this. Let's cancel the entire arrangement. You know what? Instead of giving me your income and I give you benzinus, let's call it fair and square. You apply your income to your mezainis. What you earn, you eat. So since he has that ability, he can do that. So in this case, when he makes a nether, it's as though he is offering her that arrangement. He is rearranging their marriage. It's as if he tells her, take your income, apply it to your mezainis, leave me out of it. The very fact that he made that nether, that you have to stick to yourself, you have to support yourself, he's pretty much indicating, take your income and use it. So in this case, he's no longer committed. If she's providing income, so he has to give her mezainis. But if they rearrange that commitment, no more income to me, you keep your income, then he can just absolve himself from his mezainis. Asks the Gemara, well, in the other case as well, let's say she's the one making a nether against him, I can't support you. Why doesn't it work? The same could apply there. She can disengage from him financially. If it is so, that we follow Rav Huna Marav's halacha, that just as husband can disengage financially, the wife can do so as well. In the name of Amarav, a wife can turn to her husband and say, "Eini nezoinus, eini yoiso. I don't need your nezoinus, and I don't need to give you my income. I'll live on my own." So she can do that. So why, in the case of koinom she'ani yoiso l'ficha, whatever I produce should be a nether, should be usher to you? We say, don't worry about it, because she's committed. Amai eini tzarich l'fahafer. Why doesn't he have to interfere and nullify? Because she's committed. She's not committed. Lema, we can apply the same rationale there as well. Since she has that ability to say, look, I skip your mezainis, and you leave my masiyah dying with me. Let's disengage financially. Since she can do that. So when she makes that nether, it's as if she said it. When she says, look, Rabid, don't have anything from me. It's a nether. In effect, she's really saying, I don't need your favors, and you don't need mine. I'll keep my masiyah daim and feed myself. So in that case, it should work. Ella says the Gemara, rather, let's tweak it a bit. Lay tema nasa, instead of an assumption that we assume the fact that he makes the nether, it's as though he said, let's disengage. That doesn't work. We don't make assumptions. Ella b'imrla was speaking that he actually said that. The Mishnah is speaking about a very specific case. He said, I am not feeding you because you'll keep your mezainis. B'imrla tzi masay yadayich b'mezainisayich. Okay? So he said, keep your masay yadayim, buy your own mezainis. It's a very specific case. So this case is an exception. He's no longer meshubed. He's no longer committed. He has the ability to make a nether. And she has to keep away from her, from his mezainis. Asks the Gemara, well, that's a perfect arrangement. If that's the case, why does he have to get a parnos? Mishnah spoke about appointing a caretaker to provide for her needs. What do you mean? She's earning a nice income. I'm not committed anymore. Yachi parnos lamala. Answer is, b'loy sapka. Her earnings don't suffice, don't provide for her needs. Well, Ibad Lay Safka, if that's the case, and she doesn't have enough from her earnings, well, back to square one. He's committed. Yachi, Sorry, Ibid Lay Safka, Hadar Kushon Leduchtei. The Kasha is back to its place, meaning he's committed to provide, so he can't make an Eder. Amar Rav Ashi, was speaking with Mesapekes, her income suffices to provide for Ledvarim Gdolim, the main, her main primary needs, her basic foods. Ve'ena Mesapekes, Ledvarim Ketanim, but her income doesn't provide adequate income for the accessories, the extra foods that she'd like. So he has to have a parnas for that. Asks the Gemara, well, again, let's analyze what's going on. What do we? What do you mean the extra supplemental foods? Either regilabu, she's accustomed to it from home. Her regilabu, she's accustomed. And he has to provide. It's a basic chiyuv to provide for his wife's lifestyle. V'ilay regilabu, she's not accustomed to these foods. Parnas lamale. So again, why does he have to have a parnas looking after that? So it's either all in or all out. What's the middle ground here? Leitzricha apparently was speaking the regila beveis nasha. She was accustomed to these extra foods back at home. What happened was she married this fellow who could not really afford. So she was willing to, share his lifestyle, to be megalgal, meaning just to come along with him and, share whatever he has. So she allowed herself to a downgrade, right? She stepped down. But she's only willing to do that when he's being nice to her. The Amrale, she turns to him and says, look, until this point, while we were happily married, the loya adartam, before you made this vicious neder against me, gagilna badach, I was perfectly fine with living according to your standards. Gagilna badach, but hashta da adartam, now that you made this neder against me, loy matzina de galgo badach, I'm unwilling to, drop down to your lifestyle. I'm no longer really sharing your life, so you have to provide for my needs according to my standards, which is your obligation. So Tosis asks, well, if that's the case, if he's committed, then again, the kasha is, how could he make a nether if she doesn't have what she needs? So he says that when he made the nether, at that point, he was not yet committed to the extras. Right? Picture it this way. She was living with him. She was okay with his standards. Right? So everything's good so far. Now he gets up and makes a nether. At the point of that nether, when he expressed that nether, she was still okay. The switch took place right then. At that point, she's no longer happy with his, his lifestyle. Right? Because, the nether creates that distance. At that point, the new chiyuv triggers. He has to pay for the extra stuff. So he has to make that parnas to provide for the extra needs. But the nether was chal. The nether does catch. Because her masi adayim suffices for her basic needs, which she was okay with until then. But once he makes the nether, at this point, suddenly she needs more. She wants to go back to her parents' lifestyle. Oh, so for that he needs a parnas. Asks the Gemara, but then, why does the Mishnah set a 30-day limit? Umayishna ad lamad yom. We say, up until 30 days, this arrangement works. So again, the masi yodayim that she produces provides her mezainis, but the extras she gets from the parnas, but only until 30 days. Why? Umayishna ad lamad yom. Answers the Gemara, look, ad lamad yom lishami bainshi. Up until 30 days, the word is not out yet. People don't know about this peculiar arrangement between these two. V'lo yizila b'milsa, it's not embarrassing for her. It's not yet known, so she's willing to live with it. But tfei past 30 days, shami bo'inshi. So talk of the town. V'zila b'milsa, it's embarrassing for her that she's being supported by a middleman, and therefore she's unwilling to go along with it. You have to address it properly. Divorce. And, step up to the plate. Iboy esema. This is going to be another teres tal kasha. Again, the kasha was, how could he even make this nether to begin with? He's committed to her mezainis. The answer is she dira kashi arusa. The nether took place while they were only engaged. At that point, minat tira, he does not defeat her. So the nether is chal. Asks the Gemara, well, then why does he have to have this parnas arrangement? He's totally potter from mezonis at that early point. Arusa mi islam mezonis. Since when's an arusa get mezonis from the chasan? Answer is shigia zman of loynis. So what happened was the wedding date arrived and he refused to marry. So you have to look after her midrabanan. This nun, he gives man loynisu. The wedding date arrives and there's no marriage. Oichlis mishaloi, oichlis mitruma. He feeds her truma if he's a kohen. Asks the Gemara, umayish no ashleishim yoyim. But now the question is, if they're not even married, then the whole point of the shame and embarrassment doesn't really apply. They're not married. He's not really meant to provide for her. If anything, he's going to give her through a third party. That's fine. It's acceptable. It's fine. It's nothing wrong with that. So why do we set a 30-day limit in this case? According to this teretz, u'mayishna shleishim yoyim. Why is it limited to 30 days? Answer is shleishim yoyim oved shliach shlichusa. The assumption is that this middleman who's providing for her, he wasn't really hired for the job, right? The Gemara will tell us it was some sort of volunteer, service that he's doing. So up until 30 days. He'll just he'll give the mezainus, assuming that he'll get paid at the end of the day. Avid shliach shlichusay, but tfei, but past 30 days, that's already a large investment. Well, avid shliach shlichusay, there's no way to guarantee that the shliach will follow through and provide for her needs. So it's not really a practical arrangement, and it can't be relied upon. So according to this teretz, what happened was the nether took place while they were still engaged, in which case he's not yet committed minat Torah to provide for her needs. So the nether is chal, but only up until 30 days. Here comes the third teretz, from which the Gemara will fall away. The third teretz is shedira kashi arusa. What happened was he made the nether while they were engaged. So now it works because he's not yet committed to her mezainis. Venisis, and then she married. Oh. So although currently he is chayiv in her mezainis minat Torah, but it's too late. The nether was already activated during the engagement period. It preceded his chiv mezainis, so it holds on. It holds up. Asks the Gemara, why would there be a problem at all in this case? Why do we give him a 30-day limit? Nis says, if she married with this arrangement, with this understanding in mind, her sovereign of a kibla, she was fully aware, fully cognizant, and she accepted this arrangement. Why does he have to provide for her? Why does he have to make a parnos? The answer is the Amr, because she'll say, I thought I can live with it. Because svura ani sha'ani yechayla l'kabal. I thought, yeah, that this can work for me. But achshav ein ani yechayla l'kabal. Now I realize that it's not practical. I can't live with this. Asks the Gemara. What kind of argument is that? Emor damrinan hachi. When do we find this type of argument? Gabi Mumin. Anisha has a blemish. So look, he says, I thought I can live with it. Now I see I can't. It's something which fluctuates, right? It's a mindset which can fluctuate. But l'inyan mezoinim, when it comes to a person's basic provisions, his basic needs, mi amrinan hachi, how could you apply this idea? Either you can live with it or you can't. There are no surprises, nothing unknown about it. If you accepted it while you were an arusa, live with it. How can you come around and change your mind? Ela machavarta. Apparently the correct approach is the previous terutzim, as we explained before. Right? The kasha was, how could he make a nether? He's committed to her mezainis. We had one teretz. He disengaged. He said, look, you keep your income, you buy your mezainis. The second teretz was, he made the nether while they were still engaged, which preceded the chiv mezainis minatur. But, ad shloshim yom yamid parnas, he has to be reasonable, get a fellow to provide for her needs. Asks the Gemara, well, didn't he make a nether? She can't have anything from him. By appointing a parnas, you're defeating the purpose. You're working against yourself. Uparnas lav shluchisay ka'avit. Isn't the parnas performing for the husband? He's a shliach. He's an emissary. Shlucha shaladim kemaisay. It's as though the husband is providing.
Amar Huna.
Boimer. What happens is he gets up and says,
Kalazan ene mafsid.
He announces as follows. Whoever provides for my wife, he won't lose. So there's a veiled hint here. Provide for her and I'll compensate you for your expenses. So as long as he doesn't directly instruct, go give my wife and I will pay you, he's not really circumventing the nether. So he's not really a shliach. He's sort of taking the initiative, knowing that, most probably the husband will pay me back. That's what we said, it only lasts for 30 days, but the person's not willing to go past that. Asks the Gemara, but that's also considered a shliach. You're doing it, in my service. Even if he's going to do it in this way, isn't it doing a shlichus for him? He's doing it on behalf of the husband.
Listen to this Mishnah. The Mishnah in Gittin.
We find that even a hint, a veiled hint, is considered a shliach.
A fellow
was lying in a pit. And he calls out, he's speaking in third person. Whoever hears his voice, meaning whoever hears my voice, should write a get to my wife. If you hear that announcement, write the get and give it to his wife. So even though he didn't personally instruct the sefer, which is typical procedure, standard procedure, you have to appoint a sefer, he just made this sort of general, anonymous announcement. It works. Apparently. Whoever is following this fellow's instruction is considered doing a shlichus. He's doing it on his behalf, even though he wasn't personally instructed. Answer is, Hachi Ashta, how do you compare? Hasam Kamar Yichtev. There, he specifically instructed, whoever hears my voice, write. Hachem Kamar Yazon. In our case, is he then saying, provide for my wife? He's not saying that. Kalazon Kamar. He's just saying, whoever provides for my wife, lucky fellow. That is not called a shliach. Asks the Gemara, but it is. Vamar Vamid. But Leka. If Leolenu on Shabbos, there's a fire burning throughout the home. Chachamim say, it's a desperate situation. He might go ahead and actually put out the fire because he's so agitated about losing his property. So the Chachamim provided a special provision, a special heter. You can get up and say, it's directed at the non-Jews. Whoever puts out the fire won't lose. He'll be compensated handsomely. Right? So even though he didn't personally instruct any specific person, because he didn't personally instruct a person, it's mutter. Kol machabe einim nafsit. Right? Now the diuk is, bidleika, only during a dleika, during a fire, this would be mutter, due to the extenuating circumstance. Lamutte ma, as opposed to what? Where is it not mutter? Even if it's just a generic declaration. Lav lamutte ki agam, apparently we're coming to exclude a different type of Isser in the Torah, like a neder. Even speaking in such general terms would be Asr. Lai lumuti shari surim de Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, no. When it comes to any Isser, like neder, etc., other than Shabbos, which has extra severity, Shabbos carries Misa, etc. So over there by Shabbos, we don't want to get into issues of Malacha. We try to steer clear of anything that's close to a malacha. But when it comes to other types of Yisurim, like neder, like an Al Mishnah, this type of announcement is perfectly acceptable. And we don't consider that person to be your shliach. Masiv Rabbah, here comes Akash. There's a Mishnah Maseches Nedarim as follows. Amudar Ano Mechaver. So Shimon is meant to keep his distance from Reuven. Reuven made a neder. To Shimon, you can't enjoy anything of mine. Ve'en lomar yoichel, Shimon is totally destitute, nothing to eat. And Reuven has Rachmanas on him. He wants to provide for him, but he can't. His neder prevents him from doing so. So what's the solution? Yelech Etzel Chemveni. Reuven approaches a local grocer, Haragel Etzloi, by whom he's a regular customer. V'yermelin, he tells him like this. I have a problem with my neighbor. Ish plainly mudar anami meni. Meshimen over here, there's a neder between us. V'eni yedei ma'asel, what should I do for him? I'm stuck. His friendly grocer gets the hint.
Who knows? And like provides for Shimon. And he comes and takes back, gets paid from Reuven. Says the Gemara, Hachi who does Shari. Apparently, only this type of arrangement is mutter, because keep in mind, Reuven didn't utter a word of instruction to the grocer. He just told him about the story. I have an issue with Shimon, and you figure out what to do. Aval kol hazon einim mafsid, but let's say he would have been more specific. To make an announcement and say, whoever provides Shimon with his needs will be handsomely compensated. That he can't do. Loy, that's not allowed. That's a shliach. That's a kasha to our Mishnah. The answer is loy. Loy miboy kamar, the Mishnah was just employing a method of loy miboy. Needless to say, it goes without saying. Loy miboy, it goes without saying that kol hazon einim mafsid. Announcing, you know, whoever provides will not lose. The la'alma kama, which is an anonymous, general announcement to nobody in specific, certainly in that case it's acceptable, it's perfectly fine. Aval hai, but this situation where he's approaching a person, a grocer, kiven the regular esla, since he's a regular customer there, because the kama, then he goes and tells him about the story, perhaps it's a little bit too much direct. Kimanda amrli zil havli at dummy. Perhaps it's as though he directly tells him, you give him, zil havli at, you give him dummy. It's compared to that, kamash mulam, no, there's no concern. And it goes without saying, of course, loy mibay, of course, a general shout into the dark, whoever provides is okay, whoever provides will not lose, whoever provides will be compensated, that certainly is okay. So once we're on the topic of this Mishnah, the Gemara will elaborate further. Gufa, let's go back to that Mishnah, which gives us several variations of this halach. So in the first case we have Hamuda Nama Chaveri, right? Shimon had a nether from Reuven, Veinlo Mayochel, Shimon is stuck, nothing to eat, Hoylech Etzel Chemeni, Horog Latzli, Reuven approaches his grocer, Ra'imolo Yishpleini, Muda Nami Meni, I have a problem with Shimon, Veini Yedeh Ma'asli, I'm stuck, don't know how to take care of him, and the grocer gets the hint, Hunay Senloi provides Shimon with his needs, Ubav Anayit Mazen, comes and gets paid from Reuven. Next example is Beisei Livnais. Shimon has to build his home. Ugdeira Ligdar has to mend his fence. Vasadeo Ligtzer harvests his field. And he's stuck. He can't provide for himself. And Reuven wants to look after him. Problem is, Shimon cannot have an enough from Reuven. So once again, he makes some sort of roundabout arrangement. Hoylech Etzel Poyal in Haragil. And Etzel, Reuven approaches his loyal workers, Vayimelan tells them, look, Ish plainly mudar nami mani, Shimon and me, you don't get along. Ve'eni edema asaloi, I don't know how to take care of him. And they get the hint. Hey nois and imoi, so the workers harvest Shimon's field, and they get paid from Reuven. Uboim leitlun schar mezed, they take their wages from Reuven. A third example, Hoyim alchem aderech, Reuven and Shimon are traveling together. Ve'eni imoi mayech, Shimon is totally destitute, nothing to eat. Noisin l'achel l'shamatana. So Reuven, who has an abundance of food, he takes some of his extra food, gives it to a third party, to Levi, as a gift. So now it's totally Levi's. V'allah noitel v'oichel, and Shimon accepts from Levi v'mutter, and this is totally fine. V'im'ein shamachar. Let's say there is no Levi walking with them. It's just Reuven and Shimon. How does he transfer from Reuven to Shimon? Maneach al gabi asel, he takes his food, puts it on the rock. Al gabi agedr on a stone fence. V'aymar, he declares as follows. Harayein mufkaren, l'chol mishay yachpitz. Look, this food here is totally hefker. It's ownerless. I'm absolving my ownership. Anybody can come take it. It's like on Erev Pesach, when you're mafker, you know, kol chamira v'chamira libata will have a hefker. Totally hefker. By the way, Tosfos in Pesachim asks, how can you make hefker? Hefker needs to have three people. As the Gemara in the Duran tells us, Hefka b'fnei shloisha. So he says that's only midah rabbanon. Rabbanon required three people to make it more, you know, serious and formal. But minatori, you don't have to have, you know, people around you. So in this case as well, he says it's hefker. Now he's no longer the owner. And Shimon can pick up the food and eat it. Rabbi Yosi Oyser, he says this is not a proper arrangement. Amarava my time with Rabbi Yosi, what's wrong? Gzeira mishamasa de beis chayrin. We're concerned about this leading to another situation called the masa beis chayrin, which is discussed in the Dharm. A fellow was in a fight with his father. He made a nether, and his father couldn't have any enough from the son. Came time to marry off the son's son. He wanted his father to attend. So he walks over to a friend of his and he says, look, all the wedding provisions, anything in that wedding hall, is totally yours so that my father can come join us. So he specified, it's yours in order that my father comes and join us, indicating that he's not really giving it away wholeheartedly to the stranger. In that case, it doesn't work because it's still Reuven's, from which his father cannot have a no. That's called Masa, which took place in Beis Chayrin. So the Rebbe says any sort of pseudo-legal circumvention is problematic because it might lead to that situation where it's really not a gift. So even in this case where technically it is a gift or it's a hefker, so Shimon can really take it, but concerned that it might lead to a situation where it's not acceptable and therefore we make it us. Okay, so what did we learn today? We started with the halacha puta, it's the youngsters who would like to buy and sell. But metatlon, we say it works. And there's a takanas chachamim, so that people should look after him and be willing to deal with him, which would enable them to provide for themselves. But if there is a fellow who's appointed as an administrator, a shlish, or a apotropos, then he's the caretaker, and they shouldn't have anything to do with their assets. Talking about a yasim, right? Now, a fellow who made a neder against his wife, you can't have an offer from me. So we give him a 30-day grace period, throughout which he has a parnas, which provides for her. And the Gemara asked the Kasha, well, he's Meshubad, how could he even get this nether off the ground? Two terutzim we provided. Either we're speaking that he's not Meshubad because he allowed her to keep her her income, so he no longer provides for her mezoines. On the second terutz of the Gemara, he made the nether before marriage while he was not yet chayev in mezoines min ha-Torah. We have the second and third case in the Mishnah that she made a nether against having peiros or the tachshitin, and he was mekayim the nether. In both cases, according to Tanakama, he has to attend to this immediately, otherwise absolve the marriage, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the second case. It all depends if he's a Kayin or a Yisrael. By the Kayin, we give him some more time to reconsider. Okay, until 30 days with the Mezoinus, he has to have a Parnos to provide. While the Parnos is doing his Shlichus, the answer is he's not, because he's just offering his services technically free of charge. Because the husband just made this declaration, whoever goes and provides will not lose. So this fellow is not really technically a shliach, and therefore it is a mutter. We went into the Mishnah Nedarim, a similar situation where Reuven and Shimon are meant to stay away, but Reuven wants to provide for Shimon. So we have three cases, either the chemeni looks after him, or the workers, or in the case where they're traveling. So he makes some sort of arrangement in the case where there's nobody's around, he can make it a hefker, and that allows for Shimon to access that food without any concerns. Hatzlacha Rabba and Surus Tevis.